Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax, and I am a nominee. Yeah, so we had our branch meeting to do our nominations, and I have a whole bunch of things to catch you guys up on. This has been a fascinating experience for me, and nerve-wracking and stressful and all those things. But I am officially a nominee right now. So first, let me bring you guys up to date on the issue of the notification of our nominations. So as we talked about on a previous episode, the notifications were in the bottom right corner of page 5 of our state publication for our union. And so I brought this to the attention of our branch secretary, who is responsible for publishing the notification. And we went back and forth a little bit, but ultimately his position was that he was in compliance with the Constitution and with the bylaws, both of which say it's okay to publish this in the state newsletter, which, yeah, of course, I don't dispute that at all. But in the rule book for the elections, it says that it's got to be prominently featured on the front page. And I sent him the rule, and the rule is, let me just pull it out here. Sorry, I'm grabbing. I use this also as like a coaster. The rule reads, it's 5.11C, this provision, the provision of having to do notifications, may be satisfied by, well, let me just go through the whole thing real quick. You have to give notification before the elections. And the provision may be satisfied by, and there are three ways that it may be satisfied. A, timely direct mailing of notice to the membership. So there you go. You send everybody something in the mail. B, timely publication of the notice in the postal record. Neither of those two options did we choose. Or C, timely publication in a mailed branch publication. The notice must be published on the front page in a conspicuous position. So I sent that to him, you know, hey, it looks like we're in violation of 5.11C. And he said, we don't have a branch publication, which it's true, I guess. We only have the state publication, which is where he published it. And I think the rationale here seems to be that this is like a loophole, that the Constitution says you can put it in a state publication, as do our bylaws. But this thing here, the election rules doesn't specify a state publication. It says that when you publish it in your branch publication, it has to be published on the front page in a conspicuous manner, in a conspicuous position. So, and then later on, when it says for those branches that decide to publish the notice in the branch newspaper, remember that notification must be on the front page and prominent. So the state publication is our de facto branch publication, because we have no independent branch publication, and that's the one that our branch officers write in, and it's where we get our local news and all that stuff. It is our de facto branch publication. But is this some kind of weird loophole that means that it doesn't have to be obvious, that it can be hidden away? I don't know. I lost sleep over that last night. And the moral of the story is, the nominations went on today as planned. So is it right? I don't know. Maybe you know better than I. This is the kind of thing that I guess needs a ruling, but that's what happened. All right, so we get to the meeting, and there's a little bit of preamble. Like in previous months, we had had charges brought against our sitting president, and the charges were voted down at the branch meeting, and so the person who brought the charges is now filing an appeal, and the appeal is read at the branch meeting. So that happened like right at the beginning. They read these, the branch secretary read the appeal. Then we go through a couple of other items of business. Oh, dude, and pro tip. If you have thrift savings plan, which I'm sure you do, check to make sure that your beneficiary is listed on your thrift savings plan, because apparently there's some kind of glitch in the system and everybody's beneficiaries got erased. And so during the meeting, I had my laptop out. I went onto the TSP and looked, and sure enough, I had no beneficiary listed. So I went through the process to name my wife. Sorry, everybody. I chose my wife. I know you were hoping that I would choose you. I name my wife as my beneficiary. And then there's this other thing where there has to be a third party witness. And so you have to have somebody else's name and email address, and they will have to write back and say, like, yeah, that's fine. So be prepared for that. But yeah, do definitely go in and check your thrift savings plan and make sure that the beneficiary is who you think it is. All right, so then finally, it's time to do the nominations. And the first nomination is for president. And immediately I stand, or no, at first, we knew this was coming. The sitting president, who is the main reason that we're all running, was nominated. And that was expected. And I had thought that the executive vice president was also going to run on a separate ticket, but that wound up not happening. So it is just the sitting president versus my running mate, Michael. And so that'll be interesting. It's only a two-horse race. Nobody stepped up and decided to run for president. And I have a hypothesis about why that is that we'll get into a little bit later. So two-horse race at the top. And then we go down to the next position, the executive vice president. And the incumbent candidate maintained his incumbent executive vice president. And honestly, if I could have built a ticket from the bottom up, if I could have just handpicked who I wanted our union officers to be, I actually would have chosen this executive vice president to be president. I don't know much about her personally, but she comes across as very competent. She was already in the executive position, but that was before I got to know Michael, and Michael asked me to run for vice president, so Michael's my guy. And I think Michael's going to do an excellent job. And dude, choosing between him and the current president, whew, that's an easy choice. So anyway, we have at executive vice president, the nominees are the current executive vice president. We have Jonathan, who is my other running mate. And then we have a retiree who has been the director of health benefits and kind of came out of nowhere and was nominated by somebody not affiliated with either ticket. So that was really interesting. And so that's cool. And she's kind of a rules nudge like me. And so we get along in that way. Next, we get to the most important position on any ticket, regular vice president. And it's me. I was officially nominated as vice president. And then I had to say, yes, I accept the nomination. And I have not served in management at any point in the last 2 years. And so, boom, I'm in. And then I have two opponents as well. There is the sitting vice president who has been helpful to me and has helped to train me up. And I got no problem with her. She seems nice. In fact, she's been really my only ally down there. But I'm running for vice president. That's the way it goes. And then the treasurer is also running as vice president. Oh, so the sitting vice president is obviously on the president's ticket. And then we have the treasurer stepping up to run for vice president, and she was nominated, get this, by the sitting executive vice president. Now that's really interesting. So the sitting vice president nominated somebody outside of her own ticket to be vice president. And I have my hypothesis is that for whatever reason, I know the reason. People are afraid to go up against our sitting president because of the fear of retaliation. It came up in the previous union meeting where there was a push for a secret ballot on his vote. And interestingly, the people on the executive board who stood up and openly announced a concern over retaliation are the current executive vice president and this other person who's running for vice president now, who used to be the treasurer. And so it feels to me, now it could be way off base. This could just be a wild conspiracy theory. But I feel like a lot of people are seeing, and I've heard scuttlebutt to this effect as well, that a lot of people are seeing the same problems with our sitting president that we're seeing. And, you know, these problems are not subtle. And so I think there's like an underground resistance where, no, I'm not going to go up against him directly, but if I can get the rest, you know, okay, so let Michael do that. Let Michael take the fall for running against the sitting president, But then if we can get our down ballot people in, then cool. Then we can work with Michael because Michael's reasonable. And we already have a no retaliation policy built into our platform. And so that's what I think is going on in this down ballot, is that they're going to let Michael do the fighting at the top level and then put in their candidates underneath. So we'll see how that works out. I hope to be one of those down ballot candidates. And At this point, I like my chances. At this level, because we had this big shakeup when our old president died, there's not this huge incumbency bias that there normally is. And so the person who I'm running against, who is the incumbent, has only been in that position since January, maybe February. And so, again, it's not as strong of an incumbent bias as I would normally have to overcome. And then the treasurer, certainly she's been around for a while and her name is well known. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how that all shakes out. But as far as we can tell, we're the only people who've been campaigning up to this point, and the election is only a month away. We're the only people who put an ad in our union newspaper, or I guess it's our state publication, that may or may not be an important distinction, but we're the only ones who put an ad in that. And after the meeting, we were the only ones who were handing out flyers. As far as we know, we're the only ones who actually have a platform. So we'll see. It feels like we have a big head start, but you guys are going to come along this ride with me and we'll see how it goes. All right. And then we had the treasurer wound up getting elected unopposed. So he was elected by acclamation. Same with the secretary. And then we have a two-way race for our sergeant at arms was elected by acclamation. And then we have a two-way race to be our health benefits representative, the seat that was vacated by the wild card candidate for executive vice president. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. The last executive board position that has to be nominated for is trustee. And the trustee position is typically one that you can kind of walk into. It's not generally sought after. It's not something that's really competed over. And there's multiple positions available. And so usually you just kind of put your name in and okay, now you're a trustee. And it's kind of a way to get your foot in the door in union politics. But we have, you know, imagine if you are someone who is concerned about what's going on down at the branch. And maybe you want to make positive change and you want to make sure that man, it just seems like it just feels unsavory down there. And I'd really like to help make a change, but I'm not ready to, you know, like fully run for office. You could run as a trustee, and that's kind of a way to get in and do that. And I'm not saying for sure what's happening here because I haven't talked to any of these people. But I will tell you that for the position of trustee, we wound up with 11 candidates for trustee, which is wild. And so there's some people who are really interested in checking the books and making sure that everything's on the up and up, which is fantastic. Man, we need more people doing that. That is such a vital role in the branch, and I'm stoked to have this many people stepping up and wanting to do that, wanting to be that check on our branch. So that's fantastic. And then after that, it was down to the stations to nominate their stewards. And it was kind of sad when we got to East, when we got to my station, that, you know, that had been my plan all along, was to run for steward at my station. But that plan kind of got upended and I wound up running for vice president. So I couldn't run for steward at my station, and other people, to their credit, wound up stepping up. And so for our two steward positions, we have three candidates. And so we will have a proper election and we will select two of them. And so that was cool because we had a couple of stations, three that had no nominations for steward at all. There are just no stewards there. And so that's a real bummer, you know, and that's something that hopefully when Michael and I get in and Jonathan, that we can make that job more attractive, that to make sure that people get the support they need and the training and nurturing from the hall that makes them want to be stewards. So that's one of our first priorities when we get into office is to try to right that ship and make sure that those people find a welcome home, because obviously the branch needs those. All right, so that then we go through all the steward nominations, and then that's it, and then it's like general business. And a steward who I really like, and honestly, I was hoping that he would run for an executive position as well, because if my ticket can't win, you know, the plan is for us to win, obviously. That's plan A. But if we don't win, then he's somebody who I would have liked to have seen fill one of those roles. But it's all right. So anyway, he stood up and put forth a resolution that the branch support financially an informational picket, like the one that is being organized by Mike Cariff on Columbus Day, or Indigenous Peoples Day, October 14th. It's a nationwide picket, and we'd like to take part in this informational picket. And so he was asking for $1,000 for the branch to pay for pickets to be professionally made, and drinks and stuff like that. And doesn't mean we have to spend the whole $1,000, but that's the upper limit of the budget. You know, it depends on how many people want to picket. I am one of the people who wants to picket. And so he got up and spoke, and there was resistance. And the resistance was, well, you don't know what we're bargaining for, and it just comes off as you're picketing against our own union leadership. So the guy who put the resolution forward had said, like, what was going to be on the things, like, you know, we want higher wages, we want better working conditions, we want an end to forced overtime, things like that. And then also, like, the protect our letter carriers issues as well. None of this stuff is anti-union. It's all to garner public support for our positions. Like, obviously, our union has a position of higher wages, better working conditions. That's why the union exists. And so the room wound up being fairly divided. And it was mainly younger people and the people who are most involved on the workroom floor being in favor of the picket, and the people on table two. And then the retirees, or the people who are more separated from the workroom floor, being against the picket. And so it came to a vote. By the way, I got to add an amendment to the resolution that passed unanimously, so yay me. It was not a big deal. It was just like, hey, if we wind up getting a tentative agreement before the picket, we'll cancel the picket. And everybody agreed to that, so yay. So anyway, now it's time to vote on the picket, and we vote yay or nay. And I got to be honest, sounds pretty even. So what are we going to do? Well, the guy who put it forward eventually decides to call for a count. So the sergeant at arms comes out. We say, okay, anybody who wants to support the picket, raise your hand. And dude, the picket wound up passing 38 to 12. So I don't know if people just didn't, like, maybe the no's were just louder the first time, or who knows what. But that was really cool to see. So go reform, go young people, go public engagement, and go that steward who was pushing for that. I think that's fantastic, and I have every intention of taking part in that picket. So that is what went on at the branch meeting. So good stuff. And then after that, we wrap up the meeting, and now it's time to start campaigning. Boom, campaigning starts. You know, I mean, we've been campaigning for a while. So I run out to my car, I get a bunch of flyers, and then I'm standing out in the parking lot. So our union hall is in a strip mall. And I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to hand out my flyers inside the union hall, because, like, the union's paying for that building, and so there's probably something inappropriate about that. So I go outside, and I take my flyers, I go outside, and then there's also a sidewalk that's attached to the building, and I go off the sidewalk as well, and I'm out in the parking lot, because I'm really, you know me, I'm a rules guy, and I want to make sure I'm following the rules. So I'm handing out the flyers, and it's going pretty well. You know, there are some establishment people in the branch who I don't bother handing out a flyer to. If they ask for one, I'll give them to them. But I know those people aren't going to vote for us. They're staunchly pro-establishment. But among the other people that I was handing out flyers to, it was going pretty well. You know, and I know people are generally polite. When I go to hand them a flyer, they're not going to be like, oh, fuck off. I don't know. You know, they're not going to do that. But there were people who shared their concerns with me, people who talked about the problems that they have with the current branch leadership. And people who asked for more flyers, hey, can I get some more of these so that I can hand them out to my friends and let them know, you know, who you guys are? And like, hell yeah, you can. So that was super encouraging until I got my new opponent at vice president, the sitting branch treasurer, says, I don't remember exactly how she put it, but it was definitely confrontational about, hey, you're supposed to be this rules guy and you're out here handing out your flyers on branch property. And, you know, that's a rules violation. And I told her, no, I'm being very careful that I'm standing out here in the parking lot. And I, you know, I'm not even on the sidewalk. She goes, well, we own the parking lot too. So, oh shit, I didn't know that. She's, you got to go in and talk to the secretary. So I go in and I'm like, hey dude, I had no idea that we own the parking lot. So yeah, no problem. I'm sorry for that. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. And guys, to me, this is a big part of the difference in what I plan to bring to the office of vice president, because a rules violation was brought to my attention and I was like, oh shit, I didn't know this was a rules violation. Thank you for letting me know. Let me fix it. And that's it. And I did not hand out any more flyers. You know, and honestly, I'm not even positive that that would have been a violation to do that out in the parking lot. But if it is, dude, you know, give it a nice wide berth. Build a hedge around the Torah, as they say. So that was that. There was another issue where in the NALC regulations governing election, whatever, that says that if you're going to be on the election committee, you can't be running for an office, for any office. And when they asked for who wants to be in the election committee, again, a bunch of hands went up, which is fantastic. I'm so pleased to see that, like, all these people invested in making sure that we have this fair process. We have now this suddenly this big uptick in people who want to be watchdogs. And man, I'm all for it. I am all about that movement. And so the branch just starts listing off all these names, and I can't keep up with these names, and I don't know how to spell them, or sometimes you can't even tell what people are saying. But I'm pretty sure that I heard a name of somebody who was running for steward and was in a contested election. And so I went up to the branch secretary after the fact and I informed him of it. And dude, to his credit, he went through and checked both lists and he's like, oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, we'll have to make sure that that person isn't on the election committee. So credit where credit is due. That is the way it should be. You know, and so that was my experience. I'm still kind of hyped up. It's now 10:26 at night, and the union meeting's been over for a while, and I'm still pretty hyped up. I'm probably going to go take the dog for a walk after this. Take Annie out for a walk. Yeah, that's right, buddy. I said your name. She just stopped chewing on the comforter and chewing on a blanket and looked up at me. So anyway. So that's what's going on, guys. It was a very exciting, nerve-wracking, stressful, and the stress will continue, but I'm seeing signs of hope. And I'm, you know, whatever happens, as long as Michael wins his election, I was going to say as long as Michael or the sitting vice president, who we thought was going to run, as long as either of them win, then we're good. But now it's just as long as Michael wins, which is fine. That's my first choice anyway. You know, he's my guy. So as long as he wins, we're going to be all right. We're going to be in good shape. We can right this ship. So that's what's going on. I will get back to more regular episodes. There's going to be a little of both, a little campaigning, a little bit of rule reading. We still have the rest of the NALC regulations governing branch election procedures to get through. If you guys, I know I have branch executives out there who have listened to my podcast. If you have advice for me, feel free to send me an email, classesandmail@gmail.com, or you can find me on social media. Annie is now building a nest. Can you hear that? Oh, of course, she just stopped. Oh, all right. Anyway, and also, if you know about, like, if, you know, about the notice in the branch state publication, if it's supposed to be on the front page, or if there's some exemption for that or whatever, like if you know how that works out, also let me know that, classesandmail@gmail.com, or if you know who I can ask about that, because it came up, you know? And so anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for coming with me on this journey. It It's a hell of a ride. All right, I'll catch you next time. Oh, and I'm going camping for a few days, so I'll be off out of communication. Boy, do I need it. All right, catch you guys later.